Just a few announcements. Only have the announcements for actually July. The next one will be August. Okay, so there's just a few things to mention this morning. As Neil, he's on annual leave, and if anybody needs the assistance of a minister, if you please contact George. If you don't have his telephone number, if you phone any of the elders and get contact with you, and George will get contact with yourselves, all right? There's a tractor drive and car cruise. It's on Saturday the 28th of July. It's starting in Trinity Clocky at 1 o'clock, but the registration is 11:30, and it's £10 per vehicle for driver, and also there's a barbecue voucher. So if you have an old car, it does make more a new car, and if you'd like to come do the tractor run or the car run, by all means, that's the 28th of July. Cash for Clobber, for all those who contributed, £268 was raised. I think that was very good. Just thanks to all who donated the clobber. Okay. Let us worship the Lord. In Psalm 27, verses 1 to 8, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. The war breaks out against me, even then I will be confident. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his secret tent and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his secret tent I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says to you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Let us pray. Dear Lord, fill us with more of Christ's compassion. Help us to be more faithful in our prayers when we pray for others. When we meet other people, help us not to be uncomfortable to talk about Jesus with them. Help us to be more thoughtful and caring towards others without looking for reward. To be a good neighbour and a true friend, so that others may see the warmth and kindness Jesus has bestowed on us. We pray this would give encouragement to others to look at their own lifestyle, so they may come along, hear the gospel, and become right with God through faith in Christ. We pray for our own church that you would bless the elderly, the housebound, and the sick, and keep them spiritually strong, Lord, knowing the Holy Spirit is with them. We thank you for all our organizations of our church. We pray that over the summer holidays, Lord, you would be with each and every one as they enjoy fellowship with family and friends. As some of the younger members of our church travel to different countries to speak to others about their experiences of being a Christian, we pray that you will also be with them, Lord, that your love will shine through them so that the people they meet will come to hear and know about their Saviour. As Neil takes his annual leave with Ruth, Jack and Archie, we pray, Lord, that you will keep them safe and help Neil to recharge while spending much needed quality time with his family. We pray that our desire to love and serve you, Lord, will never weaken. So we ask for more of your blessings, protection and presence in our lives. In Jeremiah, the Lord declares, "For I know the plans I have for you, plans for good and not for evil, to give you a future and hope. And those days when you pray, I will listen." We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Good morning, folks. Yous are all very welcome, as I'm sure Harold has already said to you. But it's nearly all over, isn't it? And you might wonder what I'm talking about. Of course you know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the football. It's been on our screens for the last few weeks, and well, I suppose if England win, it'll never be over. But, you know, it reminded me, 22 players running around the field, two managers running up and down the technical area trying to pursue that their teams are doing exactly what they want them to do. And it sort of reminded me what a church was like. You know, that we are a team, and our manager is God Almighty. And he will guide us and direct us in what he wants us to do in our lives. But we need to listen, and that's very important. So we're going to open God's Word, and we're going to read from John 20. And it's page 1089 in your pew Bibles, if you want to look it up. It might be up on the screen. And Sarah's going to come up and read for us.
Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciple went to where they were staying. Now, Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you had carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned to him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my fingers where the nails were, and put my hands into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name.
Thank you. Thank you, Sarah. Now it's a time that we can give back to God in our tithes and our offerings. Let's do that now. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you that we can always trust in you. You are an abundant God, and out of your great mercy, you have given us so much. We give you this offering today. With it, we worship you and give you wholesale to you. We please take it and use it for your kingdom and for your glory. extend and multiply its reach and influence, we pray. May it be a great blessing to many. We ask all this in your powerful name of Jesus. Amen.
They will neither hunger or thirst, nor will the desert heat or the sun beat down on them. He who has compassion on them will guide them and lead them beside springs of water. God of compassion, we pray for those people whose lives have been torn apart because of war and conflict. We can't imagine how difficult life must be without the basics that we take so much for granted. Lord, equip and strengthen those aid agencies who work with refugees, that these desperate people might find new hope and their precious lives might be restored. Lord, when you walked this earth, you told your disciples, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. So we bring the rescue situation of the 12 Thai boys and their coach to you this morning. We give thanks that the boys have been found alive, and we pray for those men and women who have volunteered their time and expertise to help, and we pray that you would reward their generosity and selflessness with success. We know that it's a complicated operation, so we pray for your hand to be upon all the plans, and we pray for a successful evacuation. We pray too that you will intervene and the rainfall that has been forecast will be held back. We pray too for the family of the diver who has already tragically lost his life. Draw near to them and sustain them, and all who have been rocked by the news of this death, and just bring them your love and your comfort. Lord, through the prophet Jeremiah, you said, "For I will restore health to you and heal you of your wounds." Lord, we thank you that this week we were able to celebrate 70 years of the NHS. And we pray and we praise you for this service that many of us take for granted, because many of us have never known what it's like not to have it. But we only need to think of countries that don't have it to realise what a privilege it is to have a GP surgery in almost every village and accessible hospitals on our doorsteps. We do not need to walk miles when our children get sick, nor do we have to wait for a mercy ship to arrive on our shores when we need surgery. So we thank you for our GP surgeries, our maternity services, our children's wards, our cancer wards, our heart wards, our intensive care units. Lord, there are too many to name, but we have all benefited from the health service in our lifetime and will continue to benefit. So Lord, we pray for the staff, for doctors, porters, kitchen staff, nurses, physios, surgeons, radiographers. Lord, we're so blessed, and we pray that you will sustain those workers who have to work with increasingly limited resources. And we pray for our sick this morning, those at home and in hospital. Draw close to them and their families. We pray for healing of body and soul. Be with them in their treatment and their recovery. May they seek and find your strength and your peace, and may they know that you're their refuge and strength and ever-present help in time of trouble. Proverbs 11:25 says, "Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed." So we pray again for Neil and Ruth and Jack and Archie as they spend time together and get a rest from the busyness of man's life. We pray blessing and rest, relaxation, refreshment on them all. We pray for everyone who is heading off on holiday over the summer, for those who have already been and for those who still have to go, and for our students who will return home or who have already returned. Grant rest, relaxation, revival and refreshment of body, mind and spirit. We pray too for our holiday Bible clubs, for Sism and Clocky, and for our own club in Trinity. Lead and direct the teams with their planning. Keep them close to you. Bind them with a love for one another and for the children who will come. Fill them all with your spirit and spread your love and your offer of salvation to all the children who attend. And finally, Lord, we pray for Norman. Be with him as he conducts the rest of the service. Calm any nerves and lead him as he blesses us with what you have laid on his heart to share with us today. Because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Maybe we could just bow our heads once more. Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable, O Lord thy God. Amen. I wanted to ask you this morning, why are you here? You know, you maybe had an announcement to make and you're maybe running around trying to find the person who was leading this morning, which was Harald, to give him that announcement so that it would be announced to the rest of us and that we would know all that was doing. You're maybe one of the teams here, the welcome team that greeted you on your way in this morning, or the K4C team that went out with the children. You're maybe just here to catch up with folks this morning that you haven't seen all week, and see how they've been and how they're doing and all that, you're maybe sitting beside them, or maybe you catch up with them outside when we have a cup of tea afterwards. You're maybe here as a young person. You're maybe here to you maybe have your eye on a member of the opposite sex, and you're maybe here to impress. You know, all these things are important in their own way, but they're maybe not as important as where our heart is. Someone once said to me, if you come to church to get, you'll go away with nothing. But if you come to church to give, you'll go away with blessings that you didn't even imagine. But you might say to me, Norman, of course I come to church to get. We come to church to get fed with his word, to feel his presence, to be moved by his spirit. Of course we do. But it's where our hearts are that I'm thinking about this morning. Are our hearts ready to give? Because if they're not, we'll go out them doors the same way we come in. On that passage that Sarah read, I want to talk about one of the disciples. Peter, John, and Judas were probably better known disciples. But I want to talk about the disciple named Thomas. Now, we know very little about Thomas. He was called to follow Jesus. He was probably one of the fishermen alongside Peter that were called when Jesus walked down by the shores that day. And the word Didymus is written beside Thomas, which means he had a twin brother or sister. But we don't really know who they were. They were never mentioned in the Bible. And he's only mentioned basically in John's Gospel. He's mentioned very shortly in Matthew, Mark, and Luke as they list the list of the disciples. And he's also mentioned in Acts 1, verse 3, in being in the upper room on the day of Pentecost. But I suppose for nearly 2,000 years, Thomas has received a lot of bad press. He was well known as Doubting Thomas, a man that was portrayed with fear and doubt. But I would like to attempt to set the record straight this morning. I think that the Bible reveals another side of Thomas, a side that we can engage with, a side that'll talk to us. And he was a man that had his heart open to give. And then it changed to a man that wanted to get. His faith was strong, then it was weak. At times he seemed to look at the negative side when things were not going well. But he was very positive when he was walking alongside the Lord. And as we look at what the Bible has to say about Thomas, I want you to see that he possessed some admirable qualities. Among them, he was loyal to the Lord and he loved Jesus. He possessed an inquiring spirit. He was skeptical, but it was skepticism of the right kind. It was skepticism that was open to belief. So let's look at Thomas as he was revealed in the Bible. I want you to see how the Lord worked in the man's life to move him from a giver to get her, to give her again. And I have entitled this talk, Getting and Giving. And there is a difference, a big difference between the two. And as we read the verses 24 and 25, I'll just read them to you again. It may be up on your screen. If you've got your Bibles open, you can have a wee look at them again. Now Thomas, one of the 12, was with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." What a statement that was. You know, we are told Thomas wasn't with them. We don't know where he was that day. But let's have a wee look just a wee bit further back in John at this man Thomas. There's a couple of verses. In John 11, verse 16, Thomas says, "Let us also go that we might die with him." And the context of that was that Lazarus had died. I'm sure you've all know Lazarus. And Jesus was going to go and see Lazarus and raise him from the dead, as you know from God's word. But Thomas knew that where Jesus was going and where Lazarus was very dangerous. He had a lot of enemies. And Thomas knew that Jesus might die. But Thomas is willing to go with Jesus. He's willing to die with him. And, you know, Thomas even challenged the rest to go along with him. He was open to giving his life for Jesus. And in John 14, verse 5, it also says, Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way?" And the context of that was that Jesus had told him that he was going away, that he was going to die on a cross, and he was going to be risen again. And he told him that maybe 3-4 times. But Thomas responds by saying that we need more info here. And he wasn't afraid to ask Jesus questions. And his questions were not motivated by doubt, but by a desire to know more. He wanted to get. These two passages reveal a man who's not fearful at all. Thomas seems to be exceedingly brave. He's loyal to Jesus unto death, and he loves his Lord more than his own life. And he would rather die than have to live here without the Lord. You know, when Jesus died on the cross, Thomas's world was shattered. Surely he thought the worst. He became despondent, perhaps depressed, discouraged. He was not with the other disciples by choice. He was not there because he was brokenhearted. And he felt that their dream had reached an end. Surely a flood of emotions battled for the control of the heart of the life of Thomas that day. Thomas was somewhere else that first resurrection Sunday, and he had taken a real dip in his faith. But for whatever reasons that he missed the assembly that day, Thomas missed much because he was not there. Now notice what he missed. Looking at verses 19 to 23. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and he stood among them and he said, "Peace be with you." And after he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Do you see what he missed? Look very closely at them verses. He missed the presence of the Lord. Jesus was there among them. He missed the power of the Lord. The doors were locked. Jesus came and stood among them. And he missed the peace of the Lord. The disciples were in turmoil that day. And he brought a real peace to them all. And he missed the praises of the Lord. You know, the disciples were in turmoil. They didn't know what was going to happen. And all of a sudden, Jesus was there. And all they wanted to do was praise him and thank him. And he also missed the promotions of the Lord. You know, Jesus told them what he wanted them to do. And he also missed the provisions of the Lord. He breathed the Holy Spirit on them that day. And they went and carried on the Lord's work. You know, Thomas missed a lot when he missed that assembly. Regardless of his excuse for not being there, he missed some things that would never be duplicated. Others told him about it, but Thomas learned the hard way that there are some things you just have to see for yourself. You know, Thomas is a good picture of why being faithful to a church is vitally important. You never know what you'll miss when you fail to come to church. You know, people have all kinds of reasons they miss. We live in days when people are busy, their lives are hectic, their children are busy with sports and other activities. And sometimes God fails to get first in our priorities. Sometimes God doesn't even reach second, third, fourth. He's maybe not even in the top 10. But his worship must come first. Maybe others are just mad about something. They maybe don't like the preacher. They maybe don't like the session. They maybe don't like the sessions that are made within the church. You know, people have all kinds of excuses for not being here. But why not just tell the truth? You don't come because you don't want to. You don't come because Jesus isn't first in your life. You don't come because you don't like church. You don't come because your heart isn't where it ought to be. If your heart isn't where it ought to be today, there's a couple of the prayer ministry team down here. There's Ray and there's Sandra. They'll be around at the end of the service. And if you want to come down to the body of the church here, they'll certainly pray with you if you feel that your heart isn't in the right place today. But let me just touch on this matter for a moment, because Thomas missed a lot when he wasn't there. In Hebrews 10, verse 2, it talks about neglecting to meet together as a habit of some. But it also says, encouraging one another, and all the more as Sunday draws near. You know, if people aren't here today, why not give them a call? Why not knock on their door? See how they are, see where they are, and encourage them to come with you next week. Because an absence from church is a vote to close the doors. It is a testimony to the world that your life is more important than his worship. And when you miss a service, you miss an opportunity that will never present itself again. Ever notice a good service is the one that you missed? The problem you have, the need in your life, that question has been plaguing you. And that question might be dealt with in one of those services that you choose not to be here. You know, God is something special for each of us when we meet here. If we will come clean, open heart, and ready to give, we will receive a blessing from him. Where two or three are gathered together, there am I among them. Last year, Julie and myself went to Barcelona for a short trip. And a lovely city, a lovely architectural city. I don't know whether any of you have been to Barcelona or not. But we went to, hopped on the tour bus, as you do, and went to some of the sites around Barcelona. And one of the sites that we went to see was a church that was continuing to be built. The architect that had designed the church was dead years and years ago, and the church was continuing to be built. And if ever you get the chance to go to Barcelona, do go and see this place. An absolute wonder. You know, we never got the opportunity to go inside it because it was quite busy at the time we were there. But nevertheless, and it has a name, but it's too big a name for me to pronounce today. But it reminded me of a story that I read of a nobleman lived in this village, and he wanted to leave the villagers with something that they would remember him by. So he decided that he would build a church, and nobody seen the plans or anything before the church was built, and he. The day came when the church was finished and opened, and the villagers all came to see it. And they walked around and they marveled at its beauty and wonder. And one of the villagers said, "But there's no lights in here." And the nobleman says, "Well, you see all the hooks on the wall around the side." He said, and he gave each one a lantern. And he said, "If you're here, The place where you're sitting will be lit up. But if you're not here, there'll be a place of darkness where you would sit. You know, something is missing when you're not here. Something is missing in fellowship when you're not here. You need the church and what it offers. And when you go to church to worship, you're proclaiming your faith in the risen Lord. You're teaching your children the importance of God's house. And you're building a wall of protection around your life and your heart. You're strengthening your faith and you're growing in the Lord. But let me just take you back to Thomas again. In verse 25, Thomas was not there when Jesus appeared. He had missed it all. The other disciples were, and they were able to tell him all about all that they had seen when Jesus appeared. And they kept on telling, they kept on trying to convince him that he was alive and willing to work in his life. But despite their assurances and testimonies, Thomas cannot bring himself to believe. And he goes so far as to saying, I will not believe. It was a real double negative from Thomas. You know, Thomas was saying, I positively will not believe. His faith had really dipped. He was struggling to walk with the God that had died on a cross. But before we go down too hard on Thomas, you know, we need to think about the other disciples. And if we look at them in Luke and Mark, we'll see that they had trouble believing too until Jesus appeared to them in that room. And the only reason they didn't believe was because they had seen Jesus for themselves. You know, Thomas was only asking to get more proof, which the others had received. Here was Thomas's problem. He was wanting to get rather than what he had been doing, which was giving. He was always looking for the cloud behind the silver lining, and he had hoped against hope that Jesus was the Messiah and the Savior. Now, his last memory of Jesus is of a dead man hanging on a cross. His world had fallen around him, and he cannot bring himself to believe anymore. So he rejects the words of his friends and spends a whole week in self-imposed loneliness and discouragement. His faith really was down in the pits of despair. He probably said something like, where are you, God? And how many of us have said that over our lives? There are probably some people in this room who can identify with Thomas. You have a hard time believing that you cannot see with your own eyes. And for that reason, you've put off trusting in Jesus. His claims are amazing, and what the Bible says about him is hard for the human mind to grasp. Still, let me encourage you to delay no longer. Look to Jesus and believe the testimony of his word and of those who have seen him. Look to him and be saved. He is the only hope that you have. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You know, others here, lives have been shaken by disappointment after disappointment. You're disillusioned and think the claims of Jesus are too good to be true. But the thing that makes them so good is the fact that they are true. Jesus can do for you what he's promised he can do. He can do for you what he has done for others. And that verse in the Bible, ask and you will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened unto you. He can do it for you, and he will do it for you if you only believe in him. There was a time when we were all lost, but the Spirit of God convinced us of the truth. And we, like the 10 disciples, believed and were saved and filled with peace, joy, and spiritual life. You know, those same blessings can be yours if you are open, if you open your hearts and give of yourselves. Perhaps the disciples begged and pleaded with Thomas to the point, you know, where he decided, okay, I will come. And it is important to get round those that aren't here. Those that are maybe low, that we know of, our friends, our family. And it's important to get round them and to nurture them and to guide them and just encourage them to come back into the fellowship of a church. You know, Jesus again appears in their midst, but this time, he focuses truly and only on Thomas. And you know, this morning, Jesus could be focusing on one of yous. And he repeats the very words to Thomas and invites him to touch the nails, or where the nails were in his hand and where the spear was in his side. But Thomas didn't need to. Thomas had seen them. You know, there's a difference between getting and giving. Getting is a problem of the intellect. We all want many things in this short life. The person that wants to give has questions, no doubt about it. But the more we open our hearts to giving, the more the questions will be answered. When his questions were answered, he did not even need to touch Jesus. Seeing him was enough. And Thomas ordered one of the great confessions in the Bible. He calls Jesus both Lord and God, and he claims the Lord as his own. You know, Thomas receives what the other disciples had been enjoying for a whole week. And he went on to be a missionary in India, telling people about God and about his word. And many people came to be saved because of Thomas. So was he a failure? I suppose it would be easy for us to scold Thomas for his lack of faith. But when we do so, we must chastise ourselves. For we too have had moments when our faith dips. Instead of looking at Thomas's negatives, we need to have a love like Thomas that is so deep, so sincere, that we will be givers. We need the courage that would allow us to follow Christ wherever it may lead. Let us pray that we would have an inquiring mind to know more about Jesus. You know, when we go out of this place, when we maybe go round for a cup of tea, it'd be great if we were chatting about God and not about the weather. You know, and most of all, regardless of our moments of doubt, let us witness to the fact that Jesus is our Lord and God. Someone has also written, getting sees the obstacles, giving sees the way. Getting sees the darkest night, giving sees the day. Getting dreads to take a step, giving soars on high. You know, so I say to you this morning, get up out of your seats and give. Forget about getting and come to the Lord to give. And you will receive blessings beyond what you ever thought possible. Don't hold it in. Let it out. If you don't know the Lord, then come and give your life to him. If your faith is dwindling, then come back and give of yourselves. And you will see that God never lets go of you. But you have to give to receive. Amen. I hope that you'll go out of here this morning knowing that you have met with the Lord. Let us just shut our eyes and let us just pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. Father God, we know that Thomas was a man that walked alongside you, Father God, until you died on the cross. And then all of a sudden, he went downhill for a short time until you told him that you were always there and you're always here. You're always here among us. You're always in our lives. And wherever we are, whatever we're doing, you will guide and direct us. But we have to be open. Our hearts have to be open. Our lives have to be open to listen, to understand, to be guided, and to know that you are Lord of our lives. So, Lord, we pray that you'll take us and use us in your mighty name. Amen. Father God, as we go from a congregation that is assembled to a congregation that is dispersed, we pray, Father God, that you'll take us out those doors and our hearts will be open and giving to whoever we meet, to whatever family member we come across. May our hearts be humble. May our hearts be good. And may the blessing of the Lord Jesus Christ be upon each and every one of us, now and evermore. Amen.